Welcome to the Compassionate Educators Show for teachers who desire to change lives without self-sacrifice. Let's dig deep together into the skill set, mindset, and best practices you and your students need to thrive in today's schools. Now your host, Marie Cooney.
Welcome to the Compassionate Educators Show. Today, I'm really excited to let you know that we have Julie Leto as a guest who is going to talk to us about the joy of gardening. And Julie brings her experience as a teacher, a parent coach, and so much more. So Julie, if you could tell our listeners a little bit about your background. I know that you have so many skills that you bring to the table, but today we're going to be talking about gardening and how it relates to students and children. So if we can talk a little bit about where that all comes together.
Sure. And thank you so much for having me. I love your group and talking to educators that are doing amazing work all of the time. So thank you so much for the opportunity. And so my background basically is growing up wanting to be a teacher, always loved children, and especially high-risk youth. Read a book about Martin Luther King Jr. when I was in second grade, growing up in the South after the Civil Rights Movement, and it just really just created a passion in me that every child, no matter what they look like, where they come from, what their circumstances are, they could succeed at learning. And so fast forward, you know, going through college, working in the projects, inner city, and then getting an amazing opportunity, starting in teaching, but then getting out of teaching because of a lot of the perceptions and things that I felt were very difficult to work within, being an idealist. Okay. So that's why I honor so much all of our teachers that stay with it, because it's not easy. It's not easy at so many levels when we have the deep, deep passion. So I want to honor everybody that's here. And so my route was different. I got into doing housing-related education. And what that entailed is a lot of affordable housing, a lot of working in super high-risk areas, because I say all kids are at risk. So I won't say at risk, I say high risk. And a lot of projects like with USC, right after the 92 civil unrest in South Central LA. I lived there, worked in a community, built a program for education, then moved on to do it in another city. And really just being in neighborhoods that were with a lot of gangs and having the next generations, building those communities and just being able to find that light in every child and give them opportunities to connect with something bigger than themselves and something that they could do well, something that was going to expand upon what they've seen their siblings do or what's right in their neighborhood, but give them hope for something bigger that makes sense. And just, you know, kind of filling that out. I did that for 26 years doing the housing related after school programs as an educational psychologist, like throughout, you know, got my doctorate while doing that, and then have done a lot in public schools with, once my daughter started school 2000, I don't know, like nine-ish. And then came back to public education, which I had always thought I would never want to be involved in again after what I had really experienced as a professional. And was able to get this new joy of collaborating with amazing educators and people who believed in every child. And I was just unfortunate in my early years to not experience that and be the only person who believed in every child, and was able to find that now. And so that's just been so amazing. So now it's kind of taking the parenting part, which is just an education unto itself. And, you know, everything I learned from educators and just putting the motivation and the cognitive pieces all together, you know, how do we do our best by every child? And what I have found is that the one commonality, you can be the best teacher, right, in the world, have the best school. However, the parents and the impact that they can have, you can't deny it. And that's what I've learned throughout the years. So that's why now, even though my joy and passion is children, I'd rather be with children every minute of the day. But I see the impact that can be made and support our educators and our teachers by really helping these parents so they are part of the solution. Just leave it there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why we connect so well, Julie, is because we both have that common belief that every child can succeed. And I love that you described finding the light. Every child within has a light and they become the light for their communities. And so I love that you are working this from all angles, from working with children in the schools, with parents, just so, so great. And I know that you have specifically seen a lot of amazing opportunities and, like you said, joy coming from gardening. I would love for you to maybe take us back to a moment in which you have seen students and nature and gardening coming together and really increasing the joy.
Oh, absolutely. So in my programs that I ran, the after school programs, really K through 12, in a neighborhood setting. And I had students who, you know, maybe their older siblings were gang members. You know, they had grown up hiding in the bathtubs because of shootings, like just a lot of things that we don't want any kids to experience. But that was the reality. And then to see these students, many of them, you know, academics were a struggle and there wasn't a lot in life that they felt competent at, that they could participate in and successfully. So doing a garden was really a way that brought them this satisfaction that was immediate. It was something that was, you know, it was like worldly. It was going to impact other people and it had this ability to open this world to them of, I can do something well. I'm actually enjoying it. There's things I can't predict and I'm having to shift, right? I'm having to make decisions and I'm getting my hands dirty. And it's responsibility. And so like what I find, because I am like a motivational expert, that's part of my research, is the value, right? We always have to go back to the value for motivation. So when kids see, oh, there's this squash that I grow or strawberries and it's delicious and people enjoy it and people are impressed that I made it and I enjoy it and I've watched it and I've put work into it, then it's like that motivation to do that work and stick to it, it builds. And I've seen some students who are like, yeah, I'm too cool for the garden, you know, some of the teens. And then when they see what happens and they see how much joy it brings people, then they're like, oh, I'll come help. Yeah, I'll come for a day and, you know, help out in the garden. And then you see, it's like just takes on, it's like contagious because there's so much positivity. You can further that by talking about, okay, how do you get your food? How do you know where your food comes from? They wanted to think about like, how can we sell it? You know, then you get into all these, you know, regulations. It's like, it's just really a gateway, I think, to them learning about, you know, economies, learning about households, learning about nutrition, you know, in a lot of the communities, like in these communities, you're getting what's fast and easy, and that's often not what's the most nutritious. So for them to have this window into, wow, like this is fun and I made it and I know where it came from and it's good. And I had students, they didn't even know it. This is just shocking. What was it? I think it was a tomato. There were some students and they didn't know what a tomato, and my staff, they're like, can this be real? You know, they don't know what a tomato is. And I said, yes, it can be real. Maybe they're eating it, but they've never seen it whole.
Well, I remember too, like going back to when I was a freshman transition counselor, and I remember there were two boys sitting in the office. They were having a conversation and one of the students starts talking about where vegetables come from. And another student said, well, they come from the dirt, like you grow them. And the first student was so upset. And he said, no, they do not. And he was arguing about where vegetables come from. And I just sat there in awe and a bit shocked that this conversation was happening. And so you point out such an important point in terms of so many students, they rely on this convenience of food, of going to the gas station and getting a bag of chips, or just even the grocery store and getting your meals. And, you know, unless they are growing up on farms or near farms, a lot of times they have no idea where their food actually comes from. And that's such a disconnect. And so what did you notice when the students began to see that connection between what they're eating and where it's coming from? Like, what did you see transpire when students were making that connection, like you said, with the tomato, mm-hmm. they never even saw tomatoes.
So. I think it's so, oh gosh, so much, right? But it's really the broadening of their mindset. And I love that we're talking to educators here because I can use like one of my favorite terms, which is schema. So it's really taking and broadening the schema that they have so that when they're, you know, reading literature, when they're having conversations, when they are, you know, for themselves have to go shopping, when they get a job and they're interacting with people, that they have that baseline of knowledge, which to some of us is like, my daughter probably knew that before she could even say vegetable. She saw it being grown, right? And so giving them that, just that life building, giving perspective. And then, okay, well, if someone's actually growing it, it's coming like from the dirt, as you described, someone has to plant it and manage it and harvest it. And there's a whole world of something that's happening globally that's feeding people that they weren't aware of. And just, it's like that expansion of their world. That's what it's doing, right? It's like really expanding their world and being able to give that gift. That's why I tell my, like I had a mentoring program where I trained and had amazing mentors from all these corporations and a lot in the entertainment industry. Being in LA, I'd say they were always scared. Like, I don't want to work in math. That was the big thing, is nobody wanted to tutor any or mentor anybody in math because it was learning based mentoring. And so then I would start my trainings at the corporations, and like Warner Brothers, and I'd say, okay, raise your hand if you don't want to work in math, and all the hands would shoot up. And I said, you all with your hands up are the best people to help with math because you know where they're coming from. You know what it's like. You're going to speak best to what they need.
That's,
you know, it's giving that gift of our own experiences. And with the gardening, it's that. It's just allowing them to lean into the things that limited views and allowing them to broaden that. I had the same thing with students I took to a fishing trip. And they'd never seen the water. They literally had never been to a body of water. They'd never left the town, which is, you know, about, I don't know, 10 miles northeast of LA. They'd never left that town. And I have a picture of them all lined up at the fence before we got on the boat, looking at the water. Like I took some to my class at USC when I was still in school to visit my class. They'd never seen downtown LA, right? It's just amazing. We're broadening their worlds, and that is so key to who they're becoming, right? And what they think is possible. So I think back to the light, we are helping that light get brighter. It's like I tell people, sometimes it is buried. Sometimes it is like that flicker is, you have to really search for it. But we're allowing more of that light to shine and for them to believe in it. Because once they believe in it, right, it actually gets brighter and brighter.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's amazing too, because I know that as educators, oftentimes we love introducing our students to books and to literature and opening worlds through that lens as well. But wow, if we can actually have a student in person have these experiences where they have their hands in the dirt, where they have their eyes on the moving water, where they have those real life connections and experiences to a world outside of where they typically are, that creates an entirely new possibility for them. I mean, that really opens everything up for those students. And so I'm really, really glad that you mentioned all of that, because it's so important for us to remember that when we are teaching students, how do we go beyond the walls of the classroom? Yeah. And I know that you have a way of bringing the outdoors indoors. And so I would love to talk a little bit more about your experience and how you're bringing in some of the outside world, how you bring in some of the nature actually into the classroom so they can experience a completely new world of possibilities and have that new sense of motivation. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. So this is something that, yeah, and I knew, and this is another way I just honor so many teachers who spend so much effort and energy having animals and having plants and like having so many great things for our students. I am not one of those super crafty, super hands-on sciencey people. Like, I'm a, you know, psychologist, so I like the science of the mind and the social sciences, but I really got inspired because my own daughter, her dad, they would garden together, and he's a gardener and I'm a brown thumb. Like, if I have one plant here that my daughter's kindergarten teacher gave me, what would that be? I don't know, 12 years ago for my birthday. And it's still living, and it's the longest living like plant thing that I've ever been responsible or had any part in. When her dad and I divorced, I thought, oh, wow. When she was in preschool, she got the award when she promoted from preschool for being the best gardener. So this was something she really enjoyed and actually excelled at, unlike me. And so then I thought, I'm not going to be able to give that to her. I can't do it. And so then we were able to discover this tower garden, which is a system. It's a hydroponic. There's no soil. It has a basin of water, and it recirculates with a pump. Like every 15 minutes, it waters the roots, and then it's 15 minutes off. So it's very low maintenance. It allows you to use 90% less water, and you produce like, you know, three times you get the harvest, I would say. And literally, I have pictures of her setting it up because she was older by then. I don't know. She might have been in fourth or fifth grade. And we have produce year round. We have tomatoes, we have greens, we have herbs, we have everything. And it's so fantastic. So this system, which actually I just want to share, the originator of these towers, which are all over, they're like at Chicago O'Hare Airport, they're at many restaurants, many community things. And I'll talk about specifically for the classroom in a second, but this is what really got me about it. Is the inventor of this, it's called a tower garden. He, as a child, was from a farm family, I think in North Dakota, and visited Epcot on a rare family vacation, went to the land where they talk about the agriculture, fell in love with it, said, this is what I want to do. I want to be part of a solution for a food source globally for people, and bring it to people, not just corporations and organizations, but I want people to have it in their homes. So he ended up going to work for them when he grew up, created this whole system, learned a lot, and then sold the whole idea and system so that now it's mass, you know, available to people. So his dream as a child, like we're talking about, this is amazing. I'm going to go into agriculture and I'm going to make sure that people have access to food that is, you know, more efficient and is healthier and all of these things is so inspiring.
Yeah. And that's so important for us to recognize that sometimes when a child comes to us and they have this idea that sounds either off the wall or not possible, and this big idea, to never underestimate the power that child can bring, because like you said, he thought of this when he was a child and he held on to that. He held on to that dream and he made it happen. So every child yes. has so many gifts within, and I'm so glad that nobody told him that it was not possible.
It's funny you bring that up, because like when I was in grad school and I remember being in so many classes and I was always the person that they knew was going to say this, and they're like, oh, you know, English learners, they blah, 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 blah. And I'm always like the one that raised my hand and said, what about asking the students? Like, anybody think of that? And it's just not often something that it's like their power and their brilliance. Mm-hmm. There's right. We all know. I mean, we know us that connect with them, just how brilliant, smart they are. Yes, absolutely. We got the tower. And then I thought, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Like, we could do this at schools. Like, this can be incredible. So at my daughter's middle school, we actually got some of these towers. And while they're in the classroom, and if you do it, so you can do it outdoors. I have mine outdoors, but you can do it indoors. And you can get like a UV, and now they have LED lights that you can put on them. So they just can be indoors and go year round, if you know, if you're not in a climate like mine. And it's amazing because while, you know, the basin has to be refilled, I think it's like every couple months for the water because it recirculates. And then there is, the students can have, you know, assignments. They can clean the leaves. They can, you know, rotate because the tower's on a, you can put it on a dolly where it rotates. You can have it inside the classroom. You can take it to another classroom. You can take it out to the playground. There's curriculum and lesson plans, so it's very, you know, supported. But there's like no, there's no dirt. There's no mess like that. There is just the seedlings. So they're in these little vermiculites, a mineral, and they heat it and they make these little pods. And then you just pop them right in. So the kids can see it from literally seeds, pop it in. And then within like a few weeks, they see growth. The miracle for them of this happening. And what's really amazing is if they like were away for a long weekend, even one extra day, and they would come back, they would be amazed at the growth. And just being able to witness that, like see it, enjoy it. And then they hosted like a little salad party and, you know, eating it. And then they did it for the teacher. So there's a whole host of things. But I think for a lot of students, I think particularly like in our high-risk students, an opportunity that they will likely not have in their home environment, and to get that exposure and to be able to produce something and contribute to something that is beneficial, that is exciting, that they made happen. I mean, if they take their little fingers and put their little seeds in and then it becomes a cucumber, right? Or a tomato, that is a miracle. Like, it's nothing short of a miracle.
It is. Yeah. I know with my 6-year-old son, since he was young, we have been planting seeds and watching them grow. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but he gets so excited about seeing if it's going to work and then figuring out, doing some problem solving. Why didn't it work if the seedlings didn't grow? Did they have too much water? Not enough? Did they need more sunlight? And so going back to that problem solving, and like you said, that immediate satisfaction of, this is something that I did and that I was a part of. And it's such a beautiful gift to give to our students. And so I know that we are going to make sure that there is a link in the show notes to the water tower, because this is an amazing contraption that I know I am going to be bringing into my home so that my kids can really utilize this. And I live in Wisconsin, so not the warm climate that you have.
Right.
So we need something for the winter because our garden will last a few months.
And here's a little warning is I'm pretty spoiled now, because if I don't have my greens for my tower, like my arugula and my herbs and my mint, my basil, all those things, then it's like, oh, I got to have something from the store. Like I'll almost not even want it. It's kind of sad. Like I get really spoiled by having those things. But what's great, especially with the basil, like you make pesto, which is so easy. And the kids are like, wait, I grew this and now we're eating this pesto. Think about pesto for some of these kids. Not something that they would be exposed to or know about. And they get to discover this whole other culinary, you know, area.
Yeah. And then you can tie that into geography and world cultures. Yep. And there's so many ways to grow the knowledge base. And so, love it. And I was thinking too that, you know, the water tower would be such a great addition for the classroom. And it would also be a great donors choose project. I know that.
Ooh, yes. Yeah.
As educators, we love donors choose because we don't want everything, you know, out of pocket, of course. But wow, this would be a great donors choose item.
Absolutely. Through the tower garden, you can do the individual, just like one tower. And then, and I can like tell you guys roughly, it's like $52 a month for like for 12 months. So, and actually when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Cause that is the gift that just keeps giving.
Right.
And then there's sets where you can do them for like a whole, like a community set, you know, like where you get 12 and some people do that. But so there's a lot of options. And I think too, like what my students had fun with is a lot of math and a lot of learning to survey. So we would, before planting, say, okay, what did we do last time? Okay. We did learning to do a spreadsheet, right. And get their data. Okay. We did arugula. Okay. Who liked that? You know, we did strawberry, we did whatever. Telling what they liked, what they didn't like, why, and then voting on what we were going to do plant the next season. like so much fun. And I remember I would walk into my centers and I'd see the little charts up about what won. And it's like announcing, you know, the new next season, what are we planting? It was like the cutest thing because they were all waiting to find out what they were going to plant.
Oh, I love that. I love that idea. See everything. I can just teach everything through this.
So much.
bringing in this indoor garden. I'm so, so glad that we spoke about this. And we're talking about the joy of gardening. And just this conversation gives me so much joy. And I'm so excited to go get my water tower because I know my kids are going to love it. And I know that, like I said, we're going to put the link in the show notes. And then also, mm-hmm. If you have questions for Julie, we'll make sure that we put her contact information in the show notes as well. And one final thought, Julie, that I did want to mention mm-hmm. is I know you have this incredible opportunity for parents. If any of our listeners are parents and they want to connect more about some of the work that you do in helping families, can you tell us a little bit about who you serve and how they can connect with you in that capacity as well?
Sure. So as I mentioned, even though my love is children, I found that the best way I can use my experience and skills is through parents. And I have a Facebook group, private Facebook group, which is called Parent Warriors. And I'm really focusing on coaching parents who are overloaded and actually cognitive overload is my research area. And so many of us parents live in that state and we want to prevent it and we want to mitigate it so our brains can be functioning at the best capacity. So I'm really taking parents who are overloaded and just feel like they're living in chaos and they're confused about what to do to help themselves or their child and how to work through a process of getting to where they're going to, you know, not be second guessing themselves and where they're having connection and where they're having some peace and they have hope for the future. Because that's what I really see is so many parents just don't have. And just life is too short and we're impacting our kids too much. It doesn't have to be that way. I guess that's the thing is, and so many parents just don't know that there is a better way. And so really just, and what I say is that it's like the light with the kids. All of us parents have everything right inside of us that we need. Everything we need, everything our kids need. We don't know it. We often just don't know it. So that's what it's really about. It's super fun. I'm having a great time and looking forward to when I can, you know, get this work really automated, which is another one of my areas, automaticity, so I can go spend more time with kids. So that's what I really love.
Well, Julie, I just appreciate you so much for being here and bringing your light to us because you have so much light within you. And I know that I've loved this conversation so much. So thank you for sharing. And just once again, if you want to connect more with Julie, check out her Facebook group. And I highly stress it. I am in there myself to make sure that I am on the best path for my own kiddos too. So thank you so much for being here, Julie.
Thank you. And I want to just say a special, again, thank you to all the educators who have adapted and put in your hearts and souls to meet the needs of our children and families. It's just been so beautiful to watch. And I really think that people are going to have a new appreciation for, talk about warriors, what our educators and teachers do. You guys are such rock stars and just such beautiful people to have on this planet. So thank you all.
Perfect. All right. Thank you so much, Julie. And thank you to our superhero teachers for being here.
If you would like more information, resources, and inspiration to be a life-changing teacher without self-sacrifice, I invite you to head on over to our Facebook group, Compassionate Educators, where you can also connect with more educators who are striving to make a difference. And if you liked this episode of the Compassionate Educators Show, please head on over to Apple Podcasts to rate, review, and share it with a friend. As always, I so appreciate you being here, and I send love and light your way.